The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests, and are not those of Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements of any radio show programs or products mentioned on air, on our website, social media accounts and marketing materials. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to Pesmo Radio, its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.
Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Soronto.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and welcome back to The Songwriter Show. I'm your host, Sorantos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are so important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. The Songwriter Show is broadcast live on number one ranked Pesmo Radio and has listeners in all 206 countries in the world and every state in the US of A. The station is licensed with ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, and SoundExchange, and has partnerships throughout the music industry, including, of course, iHeartRadio, and exposure to over 300 million listeners. Tonight's guest is Zeke Martin. Influenced by his father, Stu Martin, who played drums with jazz greats such as Herbie Hancock, John McLaughlin, and Quincy Jones, to name a few, Zeke's musical repertoire includes a blend of jazz, funk, R&B, reggae, rock, and more. His band, Zeke Martin and the Oracle, which was formed in 2000, has released 7 albums to date, performing in many locations in the U.S. as well as throughout the world. They've shared the stage with such star performers as 3-time Grammy winner Justin Raines, Ray Toot, and Jason Langley. Currently, Zeke resides in Boston, Massachusetts, and he continues to perform with his band, The Oracle, throughout the New England area. In addition, he teaches at Northeastern University during the school year and Berklee College of Music during the summer, as well as Guitar Center's Music and Arts.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Zeke. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Sam. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. So that's a pretty cool story. You know, a lot of times I'll start the interview and ask people, hey, when did you start playing music? Was your family musical? So tell us a little bit about when the bug bit you.
When the bug bit me, or when it was just like, so I grew up with music all around me, obviously, because of my father.
Yeah.
And honestly, I really didn't, practice or sit at the drums or anything. I was just a kid running around, and my stepfather was a lighting designer. So I pretty much grew up on stage. I didn't really have the bug hit me until, here's a great story, until I was about maybe 16 or 17. I went to my mother and I said, I want to be a jazz drummer. And she said, really? Why? And I said, well, I want to follow in, Stu's footsteps and continue his legacy and stuff like that. And she said, no. I said, why? She goes, well, because there's already been a Stu Martin. You need to be the best Zeke Martin that you can. So that was like, some of the best advice I ever got. And she also said, the thing about being a jazz musician is the lows are going to be the worst lows of your life, but the highs are going to be the best highs of your life. So, and then she turned to me and she goes, are you sure you want to be a jazz musician? You don't want to be a garbage man. You'll make more money.
What? A garbage man. Wow.
So when I was 18, I started really studying with this drummer named Ron Savage. Before that, when I was really young, I studied for about 6 months with Alan Dawson, who's one of the, gurus, gods of drumming.
Sure.
We didn't really hit it off too well. You got to have like some type of connection with your teacher. I really believe that. So I started studying with Ron when I was 18, and he studied with Alan also, and he was teaching me the same thing. But for some reason, it just clicked. And I studied with Ron for maybe 2 years before I moved to New York.
Yeah. Okay. If there is one thing that he taught you that is the first thing that pops into your head, what would it be?
Run? Oh, my goodness. Man, I can't. That was so long ago. you know what? One of the things, you know, that I felt like he taught it to me, but without saying it, you know, which was basically kind of like, and it was just from watching him play. It's just be loose around the drums, relax. Don't try to force it. Don't try to, you know, push it. Just relax and just let the music take you, because you watch him play and it just, it comes to him so fluidly, and it's just so beautiful to watch him play. And it's just like, yeah, that's how I want to be.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any famous musicians other than the ones you kind of mentioned that you admire, respect, want to be?
Yeah, most definitely. So when I was, when I moved to New York the first time, in, 1993, I started playing around New York a little bit. You know, being in New York, you have to have 14 different day jobs just so you can make rent. Yeah. So what I, a friend, this bass player that I was hanging out with, he gave me a CD, and it was P-Funk All-Stars live in L.A. And there was this monstrous roaring drum intro. And I was like, what the heck is that? And come to find out, it was this drummer by the name of Dennis Chambers.
Wow.
And then I was able to, and then the same bass player gave me another CD, which was John Scofield's Pick Hits Live. And the second song, which is called Pick Hits, Dennis does this intro. And I was like, yes, that right there, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I've met Dennis numerous times. We've actually become really good friends, and we've known each other for like 20 years now. So, and all of my, I'm actually really lucky and blessed. I've met and I am friends with all of my heroes, which is amazing. And it's just, they're all great musicians and great people. You know, and we all put our pants on one leg at a time. So, yeah. You know, it's just, they're just great people, and, you know, really down to earth. And, you know, I'm super lucky and blessed to have met and be friends with them and hang out with them whenever they come to Boston or whenever I'm in their town.
Yeah, that's cool. You know, Boston's a great place. I've been there a couple of times, and it's one of my favorite places. I'm from Chicago, but Boston's still a big city, but it's just a cool place to vibe and be, I think.
Yeah, it's great. I used to, so I, you know, I was born in Europe, and I lived in Europe for 13 years. And so I came here in 1986, and I came straight to Boston, and I hated it. It was just, you know, when I was younger, it was like, it's New York or LA for me. That's it. Yeah. And as time progressed, and as I moved back and forth to Boston and away, and Boston and away, and finally, you know, back to Boston, and I just said, you know, this city is actually really not that bad. It's a great city. You know, there's actually a lot to do and a lot of people, and millions and millions, or what feels like, of great musicians and great music that comes out of Boston. And it's where a lot of musicians, you know, get to, like, you know, start off and, you know, break into the scene and, you know, get to try out stuff and so on and so forth. So Boston's a great city. I've actually toured over in Chicago as well. I like Chicago. I have a lot of friends that live in Chicago.
Yeah, cool. Let's talk a little bit about your songwriting process. Do you start with a drum groove, a melody, an instrument? You know, how do you, lyrics, how do you start?
So I am not the best reader or writer. And so the way that I usually kind of write songs is, I might have, so I can't sing at all, but I can hear it. So I know what it should sound like, or I know how I want it to sound like. And so, I usually, you know, get on my computer and you know, find a little keyboard and kind of go note by note and figure out the rhythms, and kind of start with the melody. And then from there, so it's kind of like more of like a blueprint of a song. And then I kind of take that blueprint and bring it to the band and say, okay, this is the idea that I have. Now let's work together to make it into, you know, an actual song. So I definitely rely on the musicians that I work with to help me out. I definitely rely on the musicians that I work with to kind of put in their opinion and their two cents. So, you know, when you see like the, you know, on the records that my band does, it doesn't say written by Zeke Martin. It says written by Zeke Martin and the Oracle, because it's more of a band collaboration, not just this is my tune and play it like it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. How do you figure out if you're onto something? Do you run it by your dad? Do you run it by, if you're onto a song that you're making alone or with someone that's going to reach it out into the world?
I sing, you know, the melody in my head and kind of listen back, and then I'll just put it away and then go back to it and then listen to it. And if it's something that's like, yeah, I like that, that sounds great, I'll keep working on it. If most of the time it's not, I have so many memos in my phone of of stuff that I've sung into my phone of ideas that are just like, so I've never gone back to them because I didn't like it. And, you know, there's one tune that actually, there's a few tunes that are more like fan favorites. Like this one slow tune that I do, which is called Skinny. And for some reason, you know, it definitely has a nice hook to it, nice groove to it. And I recorded on my first album and then did it again on my sixth album. And it just, from the first album to the sixth album, it's taken, you know, its own path and become something completely different than what it used to be. And it's great. Same thing for the latest album. I have worked with a producer named Nelly Pro Tools, and we did up some, you know, some melodies and stuff like that. And then we didn't touch it for like maybe like a month, and then went back and said, oh, that sounds awful. Let's fix that. Or that sounds good. Well, let's keep working with that one.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. When you look at the different things that you've done to get you to this point, mm-hmm. is there a mistake you've made that you wish you hadn't that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, my goodness. How long is the interview?
Yeah. I was going to say just one mistake. Yeah, we've all made millions of them, but just pick one that you want to share with us.
One mistake, geez. Oh, my goodness. So many. You know what? I've never made this mistake, but, well, don't burn bridges. That's the first thing. I've never done that, but just a little word of advice. Don't burn bridges. That's an awful mistake to make. I would say, you know what? Probably I wish that I had practiced more when I was younger. I wish that I was more disciplined when I was younger and been able to kind of really sit down at the practice pad and do what I needed to do, as opposed to almost quitting drums and becoming a tennis player.
Yeah. Do you think practice is important, like at this stage of your career?
Yes. I think practice never ends. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to spend, you know, 3-4 hours sitting at your drum set or your practice pad, you know, or whatever instrument you play, you know, going over scales or rudiments or this, that, and the other. Practicing can be just listening to music and getting ideas. You know what I mean? Practicing can be sitting in your car and singing melodies while you're in sitting in traffic trying to get to your gig, or, you know, practice can be while meditating. I think, you know, as a musician, you're constantly practicing. It's not practicing in the sense of what people say of, like, you know, oh, you need to practice, meaning like you need to go in the shed and sit down at your instrument and practice for 8 hours a day. No, it's, you know, listen to music, experience life. The best shows, the best lessons that I've ever had have been when the band or the teacher that I've been with, you know, all we do is we don't even play. We just talk. We just talk about life, and we talk about the thought process. And, you know, I've taken, you know, it's like when I hang out with my friends, you know, we don't really talk about music. We talk about different things and thought process and how you approach things, and, you know, not, oh, how'd you do that at 16th note, triple, you know, this, that, the other thing. It's like, no, we're past that, you know?
Yeah. I think you brought up a great point. Music isn't just, like you said, woodshedding or sitting there playing the same chords over and over or doing scales. I think talking about it, one of the things I've been doing the last few months, which has been very helpful, is when I listen to songs on the radio, all the top hits from a few years ago or from this year, I try to learn something from each of them. And, you know, 7 years ago when I started, it just all sounded like one song to me. Mm-hmm. 7 years later, now I can pick out the kick, the snare, I can pick out the guitar. So it's an evolution. I think, you know, you have to always try to get better if this is what you love to do. And I think you and I agree on that.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. We have a mutual friend, but I took a lesson with a great drummer named Nate Smith. And it was an hour-long lesson. Then drove down to New York, did the lesson. And when I tell you that it was one of the best lessons ever, it really was. And we didn't even play. We played for maybe 30 seconds out of the hour. The whole rest of the time was just talking, was just more, you know, he was like, well, what do you, you know, what do you want to learn? I was like, well, we both know how to play, you know, paradiddles. You know, I'm more interested on like what you think about. Like, what's the thought process? So, it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. In general, for somebody just starting out, we had someone, Pam sent in a message, and her question was, she's just starting out in the music business. How do you get people to take you seriously? I'd like you to answer that for her.
How to take them seriously? Try to be as professional as possible. You know, one of the things I highly recommend, and I say this to all my students all the time, you know, go out and get business cards. Get business cards with, you know, your phone number, your email. If you have a website, even better. Put your name, what you do, maybe the styles of music or what instrument you play, and put that all on the back of the card. And on the front of the card, put a picture of yourself with your instrument, whether it be drums or whatever, just so that you stand out and it looks professional. Make sure that you know what you're talking about. Make sure that you're educated on, you know, what you're approaching these people about. Or, you know, if you're trying to get gigs, know, you know, the club that you're trying to book a gig at. Or if you're at NAMM, which is the National Association of Music Merchants, and you're trying to talk to companies, make sure you are aware of their product. Yeah. Not just, hey, can I have an endorsement? Because that doesn't work. Yeah. And they're not going to take you seriously. You know, try to be as professional as possible and be approachable. That's a really big thing. Don't, you know, be a nice person.
Yeah.
And that really, really helps. It goes a long way.
You know, I think you're so, so right. I went to the CD Baby conference like 5 years ago, and they had a little meet and greet. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, there was this artist and his wife, and they came up to me with the person I was with, and they're like, oh, how are you? All friendly, nice. And basically then within like 30 seconds, like, oh, what do you do? And then you're like, oh, I'm a solo music artist. So they basically find out we're like them. And then they move on to the next table. And they kept going around trying to basically find someone important.
Right.
And what you said is so key is be yourself. Just be a nice person. And all that other stuff's going to end up, you know, people that are users or are fake or are, just like in any profession, they stick out like a sore thumb.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's like, you know, the thing about it is like, you know, though that, you know, that couple that you were talking about, and it's like, you know, we've all met the, you know, that type of person and, or type of people. And you're like, yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Move on. It's like, you know, I talk to anyone and everyone. You know, be friendly, be approachable.
The truth is you never know
right
who you're taught, who people know.
That's right.
That's the thing that boggles my mind is, you know,
that's right.
People that aren't sitting there showing off, wearing expensive jewelry and suits, you just never know. And I'm a very down earth kind of person too, but it always amazes me how many people make that mistake.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, people, you know, until, you know, before he passed away, I just had his name. I'm sorry. The person who used to own Apple.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, Steve Jobs. You couldn't pull him out of a lineup to save your life.
Yeah, that's true.
He was just an average person. Like, he wore that black, turtleneck. And it's just, you know, total average person. And it's like you said, you don't know. And that's why you got to treat everyone the same and be yourself, like you said, and just, you know, be kind.
Yep. All right, my friend.
Yes.
Tell us about this song. We got a minute till we're going to hear it. What do you want us to take from it?
Okay. I think I sent you over this tune called Boom Bap.
Yeah.
And this is from the 7th album, and this was recorded with producer Nelly Pro Tools here in Boston. And when I wrote it, it felt like after we got the melody and kind of wrote it, it felt like it was a chase scene in like some movie. It sounds like it's a car chase scene, and it stuck out. I was like, oh man, it has a groove to it. It feels good. It's, you know, it has a nice push drive. It has a nice drive to it. So, Boom Bap is definitely one of my favorites.
All right, my friend, let's take a listen and we'll come back and talk for a few more minutes.
You got it.
All right, guys, check it out.
We'll be right back.
That was a very, very cool song, Zeke. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Oh, thank you for sharing it. I appreciate the interview and all this opportunity. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. When you look at where you think music is going in the next year, mm-hmm. what do you think, obviously COVID is on everyone's mind, what do you think is going to be the biggest thing to come out of this in a year? What do you see happening?
I see that, you know, talking to, you know, friends that do big arenas and stuff like that, a lot of their gigs, unfortunately, aren't going to really be happening probably until 22. I think that right now, between now and when those gigs kind of come back, I think the small, you know, the small combo jazz bands and the small combo bands that are around are going to kind of flourish a little bit. And we're going to kind of like take a step back to, you know, a time when, you know, going to like small little clubs, you know, as a jazz musician, you know, playing for 200, 250 people, you know, it's a great night, you know what I mean? And so, I think we're going to see a lot more of that. You're not going to see Rihanna at Scholars or anything like that. So, you know, I think that it's going to take some time to get back for sure. I think one of the cool things is what I've noticed is a lot of people are getting really into recording. I've done it myself, and getting a lot more home studios and, you know, being able to collaborate with people that they wouldn't, I guess, normally collaborate with because they can just, you know, send it, you know, through the airways. And, you know, I think a lot of teaching is going to be cool, especially that, you know, Zoom made a really big, you know, splash. And it's like, you know, you could have Professor Zieg Martin, drummer, teaching in, you know, Germany today to a class. And I'm sitting here in Boston, you know, being able to do, you know, my Zoom call, you know, over to Germany or whatever other musician, you know, teaching in whatever different country. So there's definitely those positives. But I think as far as negative wise, it's going to take a minute for us to get back on our feet. And where we're just gigging very consistently and, you know, you're having the big arena shows as well as, you know, big tours and so on and so forth. I think that's going to take a minute.
Yeah.
It's going to take a year or two.
Yeah, I agree.
For sure. Again, also depends when, you know, some whatever vaccine that comes out, whenever that comes out. So,
yeah. A little bit about where people can buy your music, stream it, or reach out to you.
So I have a website, which is zekemartin.com. So zekemartin.com. I am all over social media, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. It's just look up Zeke Martin. Look for the bald guy. Music streams on Spotify. You can buy my music on iTunes as well. So that's pretty much it. And I'm also on YouTube. So I think it's youtube.com/Zeke Martin Project. Facebook is facebook.com/Zeke Martin Drummer. And Instagram and Twitter is both ZZ Martin. So, and then, like I said, my website, zekemartin.com.
Wonderful. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Zeke, tonight with us.
Oh, Sam, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. It has been great. So, and hopefully it's not too cold there in Chicago.
Yeah, it's a little cold, but love to have you on again anytime, man.
Yes, thank you. I would love that. Thank you very much.
All right, Zeke. So to any listeners out there who may be artists, if you wish to be on the Songwriter Show, I invite you to just reach out. For all the fans out there, thank you so much for tuning in again. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sarantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show. And tonight, I'm going to leave you with a song of mine released a few years ago called A Child's Mind. I want to thank my dad and my mom so much for making my childhood such a fun and carefree period in my life. It gave me the foundation to live my life with the confidence and sense of destiny they instilled in me. Not a day goes by that I don't miss my dad and think of him. I love you, Dad, and I hope you're proud of what I'm doing and of what I've become. Have a great night, everyone. Love you guys. Thank you.
Help me, please shelter me. As a child, I was so young and free. I felt so confident as you carried me. You held me so close and always believed. You instilled in me a sense of purpose and destiny. The world is black and white, as seen through the eyes of a child. Innocence so pure, it lasted for a while. I miss the day, the calm you let me feel. You always believed in me and made everything so. A child will always believe. A child's mind was beloved to you and me. The years have passed on, many days have come and gone. My intentions once good, my actions now sometimes wrong. Once wide-eyed and full of spunk, now so negative and always drunk. Lost looking in the rain for that childlike innocence again. I miss being a child. Child's mind is so young and free. A child will always believe. A child's mind was beloved to you and me. Feeling a bit wild, no care in the world for me. A child's mind open for all to see. A child's mind is so young and free.
A child will always believe. A child's mind once belonged to you and me. A child doesn't know how to lie. To be mine.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.
Thank you for choosing Pesmo Radio.